What's up, everyone? It's 4:01. It's Friday, July 10th, 2026, and you're tuned to this episode of Express Yourself right here on KDNK Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. Thanks to membership and listener support from folks just like you. We've got a few things in store for you this afternoon, including Alan Fletcher from the Aspen Music School and Festival, and we have Holly Richardson and Pam Zentmeyer, some Carbondale locals, coming in to talk about their project called Fundies, and an interview with Avril Smith from Della May ahead of their performance at the Carbondale Mountain Fair in a couple weeks. All that and more, so stay tuned right here.
Fletcher is the president and CEO of Aspen Music Festival and School. I caught up with him yesterday to talk about the current season of this year's festival. Welcome to KDNK, and maybe just introduce yourself for our listeners who aren't familiar with your long history with the festival.
Sure. I'm Alan Fletcher. I'm president and CEO of Aspen Music Festival and School. I've been doing this for 21 seasons. It's just been a blast from beginning to end, and now I am moving on to be president of the Advisory Board for the Arts, which is a worldwide company.
What season is this of the music festival this year?
This is our 77th season.
Yeah, so very much intertwined with Aspen for many, many, many years now, and one of the true treasures of the Valley. And yeah, maybe you want to talk about what the theme is with this season.
Sure. We traditionally have some kind of theme that provides a through line to the whole summer. It's not that every single thing is tied to the theme, but a lot of it is. And it being the particular year it is, we're thinking about the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. And the name of the season is For All, these being the last two words of the Pledge of Allegiance with Liberty and Justice for All. And what we want to do is think about American music in the classical tradition and how it is the result of intermingling of so many different traditions, some indigenous, the Native American music, some of it brought to the country from, say, West African drumming, South African singing, to folk music of Scotch-Irish people who came to Appalachia, to the traditions that Eastern European Jewish people brought at the turn of the 20th century, which becomes Tin Pan Alley and then Broadway, and how everything is this tremendous mixture, but it's meant to be for all of us.
That's fascinating and wonderful. And yeah, it's always just astonishing to see the breadth and quality of the talent that you all are able to attract to the festival.
Yep, we're happy.
you have a number of things coming up. Obviously, there's things going on almost every day, but you had a few things you maybe were interested in highlighting for our audience.
Sure. Yeah, indeed. We have 2, 3, or 4 things every single day, 7 days a week. But we are especially proud of our collaboration with Theater Aspen. We've been doing this a number of years now, and they bring in Broadway stars, and we have a fabulous orchestra, an orchestra even better than you are going to hear on Broadway typically. And so on July 13th and 14th, next Monday and Tuesday, we're doing the classic American musical Guys and Dolls. And it is a cast of Tony-winning, you know, top Broadway singers and our tremendous orchestra. So that's Monday, July 13th, Tuesday the 14th at 7:30 in the music tent. Then later in that week, on the 18th of July, Saturday, we have a film night, and this has also become one of our most popular things. This year, we're just doing some great films for children, Toy Story, Incredibles, and other pieces of great music that's been written for great films. That is Saturday, July 18th.
And so is the festival orchestra doing that?
Yeah, those are both done by a special orchestra we put together with some people from the festival orchestra, which plays on Sunday afternoon, some from the chamber symphony that plays on Friday, and some even from our conducting academy orchestra, which plays on Wednesdays. So when we need a special orchestra, we pull top players from all three of our regular orchestras.
How do you construct those orchestras, or yeah, what's the process?
Well, it's a thing unique to our festival. No one else in the world does it quite this way. When you come to a Sunday concert at 4 in the afternoon, the principal players, so the first violin, the first horn, you know, the first flute, whoever, are the principal players from the great orchestras of the world. Concertmaster of the Philadelphia Orchestra, the principal horn from Los Angeles Philharmonic, the flute player from the Metropolitan Opera, that kind of thing. But everyone else is a student. So about 500 young people come from 31 different countries, 36 different states this summer, and they spend the whole summer here learning and rehearsing and then playing concerts where they play on stage with their teacher. So the artistic level is super, super high, but the enthusiasm level also is super high.
Yeah, and it's such a wonderful infusion of young talent and young energy into the town all summer long.
Yeah.
I always love seeing them out on the street busking.
Yeah.
The highest quality buskers you could ever imagine.
Right.
One that was also mentioned that is close to me, because I think it's one of the first things, one of my first memories as a child going to the festival was Edgar Meyer. And I think it was when he was doing the quartet with Mike Marshall and Joshua Bell. Long time ago. I don't know when, the 90s, I think. But he comes every season, right?
Edgar does. He is on our teaching faculty, as is his wife, who's a wonderful violinist. And then every year he gives us some completely different kind of concert. 1 year it was with the great jazz bassist Christian McBride. 1 year with the amazing banjo player Bella Fleck. And every year he does something different.
It looks like he's got some Haydn and Botticini and then some original work he's bringing.
Yeah, so it's a more classical oriented. Half of it is Haydn and Botticini, and then his own composition. Edgar is a wonderful composer, and people all over the world play his music. But here he will be playing himself, and that's Tuesday, August 18th at 6.
And will that be in the tent as well, or?
No, that's going to be in our chamber music hall, Harris Concert Hall, which is right next to the tent.
And has absolutely phenomenal acoustics. I mean, they both do, but Harris in particular, I think.
Yeah, Harris is like a jewel box. It's such a great sound.
Yeah, and folks who maybe haven't been up there, it's kind of magical in the sense also that you don't know it's there because it's buried underground. And you go through this beautiful aspen grove, and then you enter into this underground jewel box, as you said.
Yeah.
Anything else you would like to highlight in the upcoming schedule?
We have a fun thing on July 21st. That's a Tuesday at 6. It's also in Harris Hall. And it's a Great American Songbook concert. So These are mostly young singers from all over the world, but they're going to be doing Broadway, show tune, theater, cabaret favorites. And this also is a very popular program when we put it together.
Nice. Yeah, so 21 years, that is quite a run. I'm curious if you have any sort of reflections on your tenure and how it began and how it's ended, maybe things that you're really proud of that have grown with the festival?
Sure. Well, you know, anyone who works in education will tell you the same thing, is that it's always new, it's always fresh, because the young people coming through are always new and always fresh and full of excitement. And so it never gets old, if you will. One thing we have done during these years is built our new teaching campus, and the public usually doesn't see it, but we built 14 buildings to have a state-of-the-art ability to do our teaching and rehearsal work and practicing. And that was big. And then a thing that we have instituted is really intense music teaching for children in the Valley. And that is from Glenwood up to Aspen. We're basically in every school. And children can study stringed instruments, they can study guitar, and then we have choirs so that people are singing. And you get real lessons and a real ensemble experience, and very often snacks are free. And we have hundreds and hundreds of children in the Valley. The point of this is not that they're going to become the next Yo-Yo Ma or Lang Lang or something. The point is that there's a lot of science that shows that studying classical music improves your ability to learn in all ways, reading, math, all kinds of abstract thought. And the ensemble experience gives you a tremendous social benefit, which is comparable to playing team sports, which, you know, you just learn so much about teamwork. In terms of music, you learn about listening to people. And so we think it's a huge educational benefit, and we're really proud of those programs.
And yeah, it's really cool to see the festival. I mean, is such a gem in its own right and is totally worth, I mean, even just going and sitting outside the tent on the grass, yeah. But obviously worth getting in the tent too and watching the emotion and the technique of the artists and stuff. But then, yeah, it flows outward. Maybe talk to me a little bit about any particular highlights from your music. Do you have any specific moments you sort of feel like you'll carry with you going forward from your tenure? That might be a hard question because I know it's just there's so much happening always. But
yeah, there is just such a wealth of memories for sure. I always love it when we do Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. It's just one of the most uplifting, inspiring artworks, you know, ever created by humans. And we have that this summer for our closing concert, as it will be the last concert I preside over in my job here. So that's what we picked. That's August 23rd, Sunday afternoon at 4. You mentioned Edgar Meyer and really many of the things he did. I'm thinking of a concert he gave with Zakir Hussain that still sends shivers for me. The first time I heard Renee Fleming sing in the tent, which was in my first season, and she's now co-artistic director of our opera program here, which is a big coup for us.
Yeah.
But every time Renee sings is a historic moment. You know, I will mention a different thing people can come to, because I think it's going to be one of my favorite things of my whole time. And that's a new opera that we have commissioned. We commissioned it with the Los Angeles Opera and with a group in New York as well. But it's called Hildegard. It's by the American composer Sarah Kirkland Snyder, who's a very, very dear friend of mine. She was a student in our program and is now one of the really great composers of I think, her generation. And it tells an amazing story about a nun in around 1100. This is a completely true story, who had visions, and she wanted to establish the first ever order for women, and she had to go to the Pope, and it was literally life or death. That is, either he would say, yes, you can do this, or no, you are excommunicated. Well, since she is called Saint Hildegard of Bingen, you can tell the Pope said yes. But she then became a composer, and she is the first person in the Western music tradition to have her name come down in history. That is, every composer before her is called anonymous because we don't know who they were.
Oh, wow.
And we have the music, but we don't know who wrote it. Hildegard was such a powerful, charismatic person that her name has come down through history. So, the music of this opera, people will love. It's just fantastic. And
it was composed is it her music or is it music?
The score incorporates music of actual Hildegard, yes, in a really subtle and beautiful way.
And will that premiere this summer as well?
Yes. It is July 31st, Friday night, 7 o'clock.
Great. Thank you so much for all of your service to the festival and to the wider Roaring Fork Valley. If you have any closing thoughts you'd like to leave us with.
Well, I do think the music festival and school are one of the great anchors of what makes Aspen Aspen in the summer. And people know the old phrase, but it's a phrase that is true. I came for the winter, but I stayed for the summer. And being here in the valley in the summer is such a beautiful thing, and the music is a big, big part of that. So I'm grateful to everybody who makes it happen, and I just want everyone to take part.
Well, thank you so much, Alan, and best of luck in this summer and in your future pursuit.
Thank you.
Yeah, have a great afternoon.
That was Edgar Meyer, and I'll let Chris tell me more about that song.
That was with Zakir Hussain, who Alan Fletcher reflected on being one of his favorite
tablas,
favorite moments in his 21-year career at the festival was seeing both of them on stage together. And I think Zakir Hussain is, I don't know if he's the tabla or the, but, you know, Edgar Meyer is fantastic for just his exploratory nature and willingness to partner with all kinds of incredible people, whether it's people in the classical music sphere, Joshua Bell or folks of that sort, or Zakir Hussain, these people in the world sphere, or Bella Fleck in the bluegrass. So he really goes across the genres. I think it's the 18th of August or something is that concert. And, you know, he's there every summer. He's a teacher in the school. And
Edgar Meyer?
Yeah. So he's
remember with the Christian McBride, the
Christian McBride Jazz,
the bass album.
Yeah. Exactly. And they also performed at the school and festival.
Very cool.
Point,
so. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to get with Alan Fletcher. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was kind of an honor to talk to him on his last hurrah. They're getting a new CEO or whatever, and he's going on to some worldwide art foundation of some sort. So,
well, cool.
Yeah.
Well, we're bringing it right on back home here into the mothership in the KDNK studio with a couple longtime local ladies who have started this new this thing called Fundies. And I just want to just ask y'all what are Fundies? What is it all about?
Well, hi, Cody and Chris.
Hi.
And let me introduce you, too. It's
awesome.
Holly Richardson and Pam Zentmeyer.
Thank you. Thank you. And I just want to say about that music, we got to hear the last bit of it, and it was very otherworldly. You know, I've been in Colorado for a long time, and then all of a sudden I felt as if I was in the East.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. So thank you for that. So Fundies, well, right now... we're going to call it Fundies Land, and fundieslove.com is our actual legal domain. Don't go there yet because we don't have anything.
Okay, Fundies Land.
And also just to say that Fundies Love is legally ours, but Fundies is not. That's a copyrighted for kind of like another kinky underwear type product.
Really?
Yes. So just
did you just stumble upon that?
Just to say, it's really shorthand to say Fundies,
right?
But technically speaking, we're trying to you know, be legal.
Yeah.
And for now, you're in more in the world of the real, not on the digital interwebs. You've been
That's
at
right.
the farmer's market,
exactly, and that is why we're here, because we saw Cody at the farmer's market.
Mm-hmm.
Just a few weeks ago, we were part of the rotating artists booth for a week, and it was really fun.
It was Fundies.
It was so fun. And Cody, what did you see when you walked by our little tent? Can you give us a picture?
First, I want to tell the listeners it's Fundies, Fundies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Correct.
And like undies.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
All these like really cool panties with on the back side of them, on the bum, of having really cute slogan, or I'd say cute. I say cute about everything, but
okay.
But all kinds of well, maybe provocative, maybe kind of sassy, all kinds of different slogans on the backside of these panties. And I went up and chatted with y'all about them, and I said maybe I would rock some out for Mountain Fair. I don't know what I'm thinking about what my slogan would be, but I want to know like about the foundation of how you thought of this idea.
Yeah, well, so I'll just say that I think all of us humans are doing what we need to get our needs met in one way or another, and we're either aware of it or not. And so me being somebody who needs a lot of acknowledgement, a lot of visual reminders, and just reinforcement of positive beliefs in my daily experience, because I'll just say that life, though I live a very privileged life, it's all relative, and life can be really hard. And so I decided to, just one day in the hot springs, I had this idea, what if I had some underwear with some positive messages on them for my own body? Like, it was just about, what do I need? And so I had this idea, and I invited some ladies over for a little crafting night. And we, I bought iron-on letters from Walmart. I bought cotton panties and tanks from Walmart. And I just got to work. And I, the first pair I made said fundies, because that seemed appropriate. And then I thought, okay, what else do I need? And I had, I made a pair that said goddess. Mm. I made another pair that said big girl, and I made another pair that said no thank you. Those all were messages that I needed in my daily experience. One, to just honor my femaleness. It's not easy being a female in your 50s postmenopausal. It's just not. And then big girl, it's like, well, every day we have to do things that are hard, and sometimes we don't feel like doing them, but actually, if you put on your big girl pants, it's just a reminder. Oh, and then I made another pair that say badass. And that's because I took up a job that was really physically challenging, which is working at the Aspen Airport and dealing with bags and lavatory systems and boarding passes with interesting customers. And so I decided I needed a pair of badass panties, too, to remind myself.
And maybe if you put those on in the morning on your way up to that job, you're going to feel like more of a badass, right?
Well, and that's the thing. The first day I wore my badass fundies to work, my supervisor, this male guy from Wisconsin who was visiting, walked by and looked at me, and he goes, "You're a badass." And I was like, oh, my God, can he see through my dark black pants? And that kept happening all day. Pam, what is that called?
That's called fundies magic.
Exactly. Exactly. So that happened. And then just to go back to that original fundies night at my house, the pair that said no thank you, I needed, because personally I need to always remind myself that boundaries are a good thing. Boundaries keep us safe on many levels. It's not something that I was taught. So these are all just like tools, right? Yeah. And so these fundies were a reminder for me. So that's a little bit about how it got started. I eventually had a fundies party here in Carbondale. I invited Pam. She came. It was a really joyful evening this winter. And at some point we were sharing supper and going around the table and getting to know one another and talking about fundies. And I just said, hey, just so you know, this is something I really want to work on, but I need a partner. And so Pam made some fundies that night. Do you want to say what you made, or is that too personal?
What did I make that night? I know I made a tank that said light.
L-I-G-H-T.
L-I-G-H-T, because things can get really heavy.
Yep.
And it's a white tank with rainbowy, sparkly letters. Mm-hmm. So just to kind of bring some levity and reminder that not everything is serious all the time. Mm-hmm. In fact, you know, mm-hmm. it's not, we don't often find ourselves in like a true life or death situation. So we can always lighten up a little bit.
Same.
Yeah.
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 And I think the panties I made are VIP access.
Yeah, I wondered if you were going to say that. No. I'm on the air. I love those.
And that was a suggestion from another fundies original
right.
friend.
Right.
And at first I thought it was kind of a weird suggestion and I didn't really gravitate towards it. And then we talked and she explained where it came from for her. And I thought, oh, well, yeah, I do need to walk into the VIP areas.
Okay.
So they're my little, like, you know, you deserve this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's really part of what the Fundies group sessions are about.
Yeah.
Is connecting, hearing what other people are seeking, suggesting to other people what they might, you know, from an observational perspective on what we see people going through. And so there's really a community support, a get together and share a meal and mm-hmm. share some laughs. Holly directs us in some singing.
I love to sing. Mm.
Which yeah. is not comfortable for some people like me, but I do it.
Good job, Pam.
And really sharing several hours with a group of, so far, group of women, acknowledging that things aren't always easy and we need to have community around us that's supportive and loving. And we can take morsels of those communities with us on our fundies if we need to mm-hmm. and know that we're all out there surviving.
So when I first met y'all doing this at the farmer's market, I noticed a pair that said F off. I can't mm-hmm. say that on the air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was just funny to me, but you told me the background story about...
Yeah. Do you want me to say that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So a young woman came up to the Fundy's tent, I think with her mom.
She was with her mom.
Yeah.
They were on vacation.
They're on
from
vacation.
Boulder.
Okay. A lot of the folks that come into Fundy's tents are people that I'm just already connected with. I've noticed that. So, and that is joyful for me to connect more deeply with people I already know. But it's extra wonderful when somebody brand new comes in and we can have these conversations about, well, what do you need? And so the first thing she said was, well, how about my name? And I was like, okay, but are you comfortable? Like, do you feel like you can be yourself? She's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, well, maybe having your name on a pair of fundies, like, you don't actually need that. So what do you need? And she goes, well, actually... So I typically tell a story. I'm like, well, you know, no thank you has been really helpful for me. I went through some really tough challenges, had to establish boundaries. They helped me do it. My no thank yous wore out. I don't need them anymore. They got saggy and old, you know. Anyway, that does happen. That's totally fine. So anyway, what we got to was the fact that this young woman in a professional environment, her boundaries were often violated by male coworkers. And so... she needed that reminder, like, no, you can't get that close to me here. So like in a 5-minute conversation, we got to something that was really important to her. And then she left so happy.
Aww.
You know, it was just really dear. So I think that's one thing I love so much about it is I really thrive on connecting in a meaningful way with people. And this is what that's about.
If you're just tuning in, we're with Holly Richardson.
We're in Fundy's land.
And Pam Zentmeyer.
Welcome.
And we are in Fundy's land here from the KD&K studio this afternoon. And I want the listeners to know more about your little parties or like
yeah.
when you're crafting mm-hmm. together. Can you tell us about that?
So we've done two pop-ups. We were at the May.
Well, three.
Three pop-ups.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, three. I missed one. Yeah,
yeah, you were out of town, but I did.
And so those events are great for spreading the word and getting people to get excited about what we're doing. But what we really want to do is help host an evening of folks who want to get together, enjoy themselves, and take away the products that we help them create.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what we want to do. House parties.
House parties.
It's like a Tupperware party, but a lot cooler.
That sounds pretty cool.
Uh-huh.
And is there one on the schedule coming up soon?
Well, there is a dance party that is about to happen out at the 13 Moons Ranch. It's a women's dance party, and we are going to bring fundies there.
We're going to have a fundies hour?
Yeah, just a fundies hour. Mm-hmm. We don't want to dominate.
What day is that?
That is... it's the week of Mountain Fair on a Wednesday.
Okay, I want to say...
I think that's the 22nd, maybe.
That makes sense, yeah.
So, but that's just like a little window.
We're for hire.
Yeah, we're for hire. We're so
we're
available.
Working girls.
Well, your website is not up and it's not launched officially yet.
That's
but how other people contact you?
Yeah, it's probably the best is text.
Oh my god. Well, okay. So let's go off into that little story really quickly.
Which one?
Of that when I met you. You said,
"Oh yeah, this is a great one."
Holly acted like she was going to send me some provocative pictures of some fundies being sported, and she said, "Your number is, you know, da da da." You know, she like missed it by one digit that I didn't hear at the very end. I said, "Yeah, that's me," and I was like, "No, didn't get it yet." And she was, and then later she said 09. I was like, "No, 01." And we're just cracking up, laughing out loud about, well, somebody just got a very unusual text.
Yeah. They got an atta girl.
Yeah. So I would say that when we share fundies with the community, we love getting feedback. And it's super fun. Fun. I mean, we just have to keep saying it because it's true. But to see a photo of like a live photo of somebody wearing fundies. Is
Bunsies. Funsies.
Yeah, Bunsies. So I think you got like a Bunsies.
So close your eyes and picture
some
rear end.
Yes, yeah, so let's picture some pink boy shorts.
Hot pink.
With like hot pink piping.
Yep, hot pink on the trim and then a nice pale pink on the
body.
Undies.
The undies, yeah. Right.
With
these gorgeous neon green letters that say, "Add a girl."
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just a bum shot.
Yeah, you don't actually
know whose bum it is.
I mean, it could be me, could not be me.
Yeah. So it's fun.
And Pam, you were sporting some like with a skirt, or a skirt that was see through.
Well, we did like to. We were teasing a little bit, weren't we? That was Holly's idea.
It was a last minute idea. I actually did that today, too.
Yeah,
I've got some sheer clothes on in case people were looking closely. But again, that is not the point. The point is not that others see your message. The point is that you are internalizing these positive, reinforcing messages.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because there's just so many negative messages out there that we're born into a culture where there's a lot of beauty, but there's a lot of toxic stuff.
Yeah.
And so we're always trying to like remedy that, right? And bring some health and balance. And maybe, again, I was talking about the saggy no thank yous that I threw away. Over time, if you repeat the practice enough, it becomes integrated into your soul. And then you can work on something else. So there's an area of ease in your soul and there's room for something else. And so like I'm so glad that like the no thank yous got saggy and I could throw them away. Like
they serve their purpose.
They serve their purpose. Like they got me through a very challenging transition.
Yes. Well, I'd imagine you might not want to share your numbers for people texting you to be notified about these parties, but maybe you do. I don't
We're
know.
We're good. We're good.
Basically email and text is the way to go.
We're old school.
Give a shout out to the listeners about how to find you.
Yeah.
Okay, so
get your pens out.
So Holly Richardson at 970-948-7714. And then my email address is Holly, H-O-L-L-Y, Poppins, P-O-P-P-I-N-S, 2020 at Gmail.
All right.
Yeah.
Hope you had your pens out. And you, Pam, are you going to?
Yes, so my cell phone is 970-948-6563. And my email is... not as colorful as Holly's. It's Pam Zentmyer, Zentmyer at Gmail. Don't try to get another E in there. It's two E's.
And you will be at Carbondale Mountain Fair.
We thought there was a way, but we're going to save our energy that weekend and find another opportunity to be announced.
Yeah. You might catch us in one of our front yards. We're not quite sure yet.
Yeah, but we might be on the fringe. Yeah.
If you're around town in Carbondale, you're going to find these ladies.
Yeah. Scout within a few blocks of the park and you might see the tent and you might come on in to Fundy's Land.
Fundy's Land.
You're always welcome.
Yeah.
You know, like I said in when we were texting, I said, you're a lively bunch. I'm sure that you'll do just fine on the radio today. So thank you so much.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Yeah. Thanks for having us. Yeah, thanks for being open to talking about Fundy's.
Yeah.
Yes, praise Fundy's, everyone. And find out more. I hope you wrote down their information. We got to get out of this and get it back into some music ahead of this little interview with Della May.
Okay.
Thank y'all, ladies, so much for stepping in today.
Thank you.
Check, 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 check. Della May was formed in 2009 in Boston by Kimber Lutaker, Amanda Kowalski, Grace Van Hoff, and Avril Smith. And we're honored to have Avril Smith calling into the KDNK studio today, guitarist and vocalist for Della May. How's it going this afternoon?
Things are well. How about you?
Oh, you know, it's summertime. Really busy.
Yeah, I hear that.
Where are you at today?
I'm in Maryland. I live in Maryland outside of D.C.
Oh, okay.
We just got back from Rotterdam. We were playing in the Netherlands at a bluegrass festival there.
Oh, wow. What is that like?
Yeah, it was really fantastic. It's an unbelievably beautiful country, and Rotterdam is a really interesting and quite beautiful city too. The architecture there is stunning, and the people are incredibly warm. We had a wonderful time.
Yeah, I've heard that American music and, you know, bluegrass, anything, jazz, everything is very well received in Europe.
Yeah.
I have a friend actually.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun.
I have a friend in France for a month, and he said he's going to some internationally famous bluegrass festival later on in the month.
That's awesome. Yeah, we played a bluegrass festival in France, too, that's really terrific, called La Roche, which we did last year. Super fun. We played a bunch of festivals in the UK as well.
Cool. Well, we're excited about you coming back to the Roaring Fork Valley, and you're going to be at Carbondale's Mountain Fair on Saturday, July 25th at 5 p.m.
Yeah, we can't wait.
That'll be really good energy to have a bluegrass band, and especially all female, just like bringing the full force. And I know you've been well received here in our listening area for a long time since you were a new band.
Yeah. We love Colorado. We spent a ton of time out your way. I was going to say earlier this year, we did some shows with Big Richard in Denver, which was super fun. That was the last time we were in Colorado.
Okay, right on. And I think I saw y'all at, if I'm not mistaken, at Palisade Roots and Bluegrass Festival like 15 years ago or so, right?
Yeah, we played there actually a few times. I think we played there more recently than that. But I think also possibly 15 years ago.
So, Avril, yeah, you're one of the founding members of the band. Can you tell us how y'all came together?
Yeah. The band started in Boston. Our fiddler, Kimber Ludeker, it was her idea to start the band. And really the genesis of it was that she just didn't see a lot of women who were on stages playing bluegrass music at the time. And the band started out in Boston, Massachusetts, but back then, and it was 2009, 2010, like there weren't enough women pickers to really form an all-woman band in Boston. That's since really changed a lot over the past 15 plus years. But
yeah.
Back then, yeah, there just weren't a lot of people, a lot of young women playing bluegrass music. And so I was living also still in Maryland at the time, and I was with the band for about a year, but then I had a baby. And so the band was touring quite a lot, especially in the early days, like over 250 dates a year. So that was a little much for me having a baby. So Courtney Hartman was the guitar player in the band for the ensuing like 6 or 7 years. And then I came back in, I think, 2018.
Very cool.
Yeah. So the band's been together a long time, and we've gotten to do lots of really cool things. We've done a bunch of touring with the State Department. We've been to dozens and dozens of countries around the world. Through doing kind of cultural diplomacy through music, and obviously played all over the U.S. as well. And we are super excited about our new record, Magic Accident, which came out on Compass Records, and produced by Allison Brown, a hero of ours on the banjo, and also an insanely amazing guitar player too, which not a lot of people have gotten the chance to see her do, but she can do anything basically. And we had a wonderful time working on arranging the music with her, and the record came out in January, and we've just been hitting the road, getting out there. So,
yeah, Katie and Kay received the CD of Magic Accident in February, and we've definitely been loving it here.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, good work. And I actually was in this like deep CD library filing project with another staffer here, and I stumbled upon all these older Delamay CDs that I haven't seen for a while, that I've definitely been a part of processing them, and you know, I've been a fan for a while, so it's great that y'all are coming back to town.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we're really excited about it. There's nothing like Colorado in the summer too.
Yeah, so tell us more about what's going on with the band.
Well, like I said, we've just been doing a ton of touring this year with the new record. This summer's been busy. We are going to be playing the Grey Fox Bluegrass Festival in New York. We're going to be playing Rocky Grass in Colorado after we see you guys. So, yeah, we've just been super busy, and it's been really fun getting to play the new songs. We've done some tours with Allison Brown, has actually joined us on some shows, and D.C. and Boston and a few other places. And so that's always special to play with her, but especially on these songs. Also Nashville. We were just in Nashville a couple of months ago with her. So that's always, you know, it's just really, it's always special to get to play with people that you've listened to for your whole career and looked up to, and let alone get to collaborate with. So that's really been a highlight.
And is there another member in the band besides Kimber that has been with the band since the beginning?
Yes, yeah, Celia Woodsmith, our lead singer, and she plays rhythm guitar and also washboard. She started out almost at the very beginning.
Wow.
So she's had quite a long tenure and is a real powerhouse, incredible songwriter, singer. Yeah.
Well, that must be a wonderful synergy that the three of you share, playing together for so long.
Yeah, for sure. And our bass player, Vicky Vaughn, actually, we've been playing with her since 2019. And so, you know, it's been quite a number of years that the four of us have been playing together. And we're fortunate to be really good friends, definitely chosen family in addition to loving playing music together.
And do you feel a kind of magic that comes together in front of a live audience when you're touring?
Oh, for sure. For sure, it's so different playing the songs, you know, just in a recording studio or, like, you know, just in a rehearsal space compared to the energy that you get when you're in front of a crowd. It was actually really cool when we were in Rotterdam. There were a lot of people in the audience that seemed to know the songs, even songs from the new record. So that was really, you know, it's really moving to see that, especially so far from home, you know.
Yeah, and you're playing in the late afternoon, evening at Carbondale Mountain Fair, and I just think my guess is that it's going to be a really fun crowd, and just, you know, I think there's going to be some magic. Maybe some, you know, it might even be post-thunderstorm and rainbows is, you know, just one of my guesses.
That would be incredible. Well, Colorado music fans are really something special. You guys are really passionate listeners, and we've always had really high energy shows in Colorado wherever we play.
Well, we really look forward to you coming, Avril, and we really appreciate you taking the time to chat with Katie and Kay today.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
We'll see you in a couple weeks, but good luck on the rest of your touring, and hope you get some rest at home as well.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you guys soon.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Avril.
Yeah, take care, Cody.
You too.
Bye.
Once again, that was Avril Smith from Della May, and they will be at Carbondale Mountain Fair on Saturday afternoon, July 25th, at about 5:30. That ought to be a really great show. Let's go out with one from their brand new album, Magic Accident, called Family Tree, and stay tuned for All Things Considered and Katie and Kay local news and all that. Thank y'all for listening to Express Yourself today.
What's going on in that there head? Hail, sycamore tree. Heard it runs in the family, passed down from you to me, down from you to me.
Bye.